Thank you for welcoming me here today to share with you the work that FSW carries out across the diocese. For those of you that don't know who FSW is, we are the Chichester Diocesan Association for Family Support Work, and with a name like that you can understand why we use FSW. And for want of a better phrase, we are the social services team for Chichester Diocese. Although to complicate matters, we were founded by the diocese, but we aren't a part of the diocese. As Bishop Martin put it, we are a vital partner in reaching out to all the families in Sussex. That was in his welcome to the Old Kitchen, the Bishop's Palace, a couple of weeks ago, when we celebrated our 125th anniversary of the cathedral. And in the 125 years, we have been all kinds of things and done all kinds of things. We were a penitentiary society rescuing fallen women, a board of moral welfare telling you how not to fall, from the running of restorative justice programmes to being an adoption agency. We have a very interesting and full history. But there's always been two things at the heart of our work: the love that Christ showed for children and a desire for the very best outcomes for the families in Sussex. Today, we have seven support workers, all of whom are either qualified social workers or health visitors, who work with families across Sussex, ideally preventing them from entering crisis, but very often, because of the reduced social services budgets, we find ourselves working with more and more families that have complex issues that are driving them into crisis. The workers are in Hastings, Worthing, Bognor, Uckfield, Grinstead, Cuckfield and Storrington, and we're soon to have a worker in Eastbourne too. Their caseloads are varied, but currently we have in excess of 100 live cases and a further 60 cases closed, but we keep a very close watching eye, and then a waiting list that is equally as long. An example of what our workers get up to. We support a father who has the care of his two daughters. He has a debilitating illness and mother is nowhere to be seen. He grew up in chaotic circumstances himself, and whilst he would never harm his daughter, they really are his life. He's not got the skills to support them fully. So this is where we got involved. And I have a fully trained volunteer now with the family who supports him with routine things, taking his 5 and 7 year old daughters to the hairdressers, because his way of dealing with haircuts really was the pudding basin and blunt scissors. The volunteer takes them to buy school uniforms and clothes and all those things that he can't do either physically or just because he doesn't have the skills to do them. The support worker is there in the background supporting, ensuring the right kind of support systems are in place for him. We've also spent time teaching him to cook. We've got a motor scooter for him, so he can now get out and he can take the girls to school himself. Before that, it was a walk too far for him. Soon, this case will be on the closed list for us, but that's because the quality of the life has improved. However, we'll still be there and in the background just to keep an eye to make sure they don't struggle too much. With workers in the poorest areas of Sussex, mainly the coastal strip, we see lots of cases like this and lots of incidents where the combination of poverty, poor housing and unemployment lead to mental health problems for parents and behavioural problems in children. This all exasperates each other. We can deal with poverty, you can deal with disability, but once they start, you get 3 or 4 of these in one family, it really does make life very, very difficult. So what happens? When a family is referred to a worker, they are assessed, and together the worker and the family set some targets. Some are very soft, fairly easily achieved, having a meal together 3 times a week. Some are a little more difficult, some you may even understand yourselves, such as ensuring your teenager goes to school, or if with a parent coming out of a state of depression, trying to get the parent and child to reconnect and spend time together. One case was supporting a teenager when he was struggling and mum was struggling. David, this young lad, he was very close to his father, and the marriage broke down, and father, who was really David's hero, left the area. He moved away completely and there was no contact. David turned into the moody teenager who was absolutely impossible to live with. Mum, who blamed herself for the marriage breakdown, became very depressed and felt guilty about how David was responding. Her response, she fed him and fed him and fed him. Eventually, David, who had become reclusive, also became obese. When FSW got involved with the family, David was diagnosed as clinically obese and mum diagnosed with clinical depression. We set to, with the support worker, to introduce David to one of our play workers who forced David into swimming and gym club membership. He knew Sue as the fitness police, but within a couple of months, he'd taken to swimming. Within a year, he was swimming 20 lengths 3 to 4 times a week, and we had one of the fittest play workers in the county. Now, we don't see David so much. He's lost 27 inches off his body mass. Last year, he abseiled at Peacehaven to raise funds for FSW, and he's now producing school plays. He also encourages 2 or 3 friends every week to go swimming with him. So that's one of our successes, and it's a privilege to be able to do that. It is the kind of thing social services would have done 30 years ago, but they no longer have the resources to spend that kind of time with a single child. And we have lots of cases like that. I could talk for hours about all the different families we work with, but there are other things we do as well. We have a play team who run events and do things like the one-to-one contact, where there's maybe a family where there is one child that has severe behavioural problems and other children lose out. The play worker may go into the family and take the other children out for the day so they can have experience a normal day out, or alternatively take the child with the problems out for the day so that mum and dad and the other children can spend time together without disruption. All very important things, all structured and all part of an overall view to help the family back into stability. There's other practical things we do as well. We're most well known probably for our food boxes. We've had a food bank for round about 30, if not 35 years, and we use this to support families when they're struggling. Yeah, it may be a family with 4 children and they get free school meals. Suddenly, when you have 4 meals to find 5 days a week for the 6 weeks of summer holidays, that's a tremendous strain on a budget. So we would supplement food then. Likewise, if a parent was unable to earn for a period of time, we would supplement. But our social workers are very keen, and they monitor this quite closely to ensure that families don't ever become dependent, because that is not what we want to achieve. Another thing that we do every year, and some of you may be aware of this, every household with someone over the age of 62 will get a winter fuel allowance, an automatic payment. Families don't get that. A lot of the families we work with live in poverty. They live in substandard housing. They have key meters, which is perhaps the most expensive way to buy fuel. They struggle, and they really do, in the coldest parts of winter, face the choice of fuel or food. One of the things we do, and there's some information here today for you, if you'd like, for those of you that are fortunate enough to receive the allowance and maybe don't quite need it all, We run a fund whereby we will top up key meters. We will buy new electric heaters or similar to help keep a family warm and relieve some of the pressures that they face during the coldest months of winter. We do a different scheme in summer, and that's in conjunction with the Mothers' Union, and we use their two caravans, one at Winchelsea and one at Selsea, and we provide holidays, because equally it's important that the families get to spend time away from their normal surroundings as a family without some of the pressures that they face day to day. And then this is always the hardest one in church in Christmas, in October, and that's Christmas. And I know it's too early to talk about it really, but this week I've already been offered 80 turkeys from a local turkey farmer, and we will supplement that with hampers, Christmas presents that churches donate to us from toy services, also presents for the children to give to mum and dad, because we also think it's very important that children can learn the importance of giving and how it is good to give and not just to receive. We all do all kinds of things. We have one charity sends us 50 pantomime tickets every year. All those stressful things, all those additional expenses that we all find stressful at Christmas, we try to alleviate as much of the stress as we can for our own families at that time. I've spoken a lot about poverty as one of the key factors of our families' lives, and it makes us think of the specific areas in Sussex where poverty is renowned: Bognor, Hastings, Worthing, Littlehampton. But it happens anywhere, and we have rural workers in wealthier places like Cuckfield and Petworth, where there the poverty is different, it's masked. Some of it comes around through social housing, and if you're in a B&B with your family and you are offered a house down a leafy lane in rural Sussex, but you don't have a car, you've still got to take it, because if you don't, you could be in that B&B for another 6 or 8 months. The problems that start once they accept that are often overlooked. Very often these families don't have a car, so there's no transport. They don't have Tesco's or Lidl or Asda, probably have a very nice artisan bakery that will give you a lovely loaf of bread for 4 or 5 times the price of Tesco value. All those little things build up a tremendous strain on the family. And also they're isolated. They're taken into a community where they know nobody and where it is much, much harder for someone in their position to make new friends. So we spend a lot of time working with families in rural areas, and it really is quite an eye-opener to see those little things that you never think of, just what a massive impact that can have for a family. So the work we do is evident across the whole of the diocese, and we can only do it if we all work together. So this is the crunch. How can you get involved? We are completely dependent on voluntary income. We don't have government funding. We get £36,000 a year from the diocese. We spend somewhere in the region of £450,000. We also look for donations for the food bank and goods for the toy bank and clothing bank that we run. And of course, we always need volunteers. So if you'd like to know more, I will be around after the service and more than happy to speak to any of you that want information. But I'd like to leave you with an example of a family that we helped a few years ago. The family went for a walk together, a rare treat because mum was facing a difficult period. She suffered from severe depression. Dad was a solicitor. He set off leading the way as they went for this walk. He was stung by a hornet, and within 10 minutes he was dead. We were called in to help. Mum was in such a state, She didn't know where the checkbook was, let alone who the banked with. We stayed alongside the family for about 2 years, and eventually Mum went back to work. Her gift to us to say thank you was our logo. She was a graphic designer. And our logo is 3 building blocks with the initials FSW in them. She designed it like this because those 3 letters, FSW, were the blocks that built her family back at the darkest time. So that is why it is so important FSW continues to work in Sussex. You don't have to be poor to need us. We are there to support any family when the circumstance of life takes over. And I hope that today you will join in too, supporting the families that we do. Thank you.